Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Was rowdy in the eighth just because you guys don't have an off day tomorrow? Just trying to.
Yeah, come on, Noah. It's 11 to nothing. It's 11 to nothing. Bednar, Holderman, both threw yesterday. Santana's been our best reliever. Chapman, I'm not going to pitch in that situation. Come on, you've watched enough baseball to know that. It's 11 to nothing. Seriously. You don't have to ask. There's a better question than that.
Okay.
Seriously. I mean, it's 11 to nothing.
Ouch. Derek Shelton not happy. His team, I don't know if you know this. I don't know if it was clear there. They lost 11 to nothing. Worse yet, no hit. Amonga goes 7 innings, 7 strikeouts, doesn't give up a hit. They lost 12 nothing. Oh, my bad. My bad. It was just 11 nothing when Tellez got in there. So they get no hit, combined no hitter for the Cubs. The absolute low point. Rowdy Tellez goes in and pitches. That's the third time I looked it up in the last 12 games that he has pitched. That is embarrassing.
Uh-huh.
My read on the situation, Doran, I think Derek Shelton's a very nice man. He is liked by the players in the clubhouse. I think a lot of people who cover the team like Derek Shelton. He's a good guy.
Yep.
That was out of character. I think that was the death rattle. I think that was like the wounded animal crying out, making death sounds. Come help me. That's how I took that. It's 11 nothing. It's a stupid question. He's red in the face. He's pointing at him. It was an animated Shelton that we have never seen before. Because if he had any hope of being retained, you need to have a good September. You're 5 days into September. You got no hit, 12 nothing. And Rowdy Tellez takes the ball again. He's done. Writing's on the wall, death rattle, wounded animal sound.
Could I just for a minute?
Shelty's done.
Is that how you think you would sound if you died? Because that's not, those aren't death sounds.
That's not a human sound. No, it's like a cat.
Doran's losing it over there. And so am I.
Is that not how that hits you guys,
no,
though?
No, it is, but the way you personified it did not.
I don't like to talk about guys losing their jobs, so you want to insert a little bit of levity. People got mad when we celebrated Matt Canada's firing, and I'll own that. So you introduce a little levity, that's all.
Let's go back to the question from Noah Hiles. Kalis, you brought up a good point before the show. It was a valid question. Whatever way you wanted to look at it, I thought it was a valid question. But Kalis, you brought up the point that maybe the question was to be interpreted, why Rowdy Tellez and why not a different position player? Because at this point, It looks like it's a parody now. It's like, oh, we're going to throw Rowdy out again. Look at that. We're going to get Rowdy some pitches. Why not somebody else? Mm-hmm. Kalis, you brought up before the show. I think maybe that's what Noah Hiles was asking. And either way, I thought it was a valid question, whether it was that way or whether it was, well, you had to pitch Rowdy Tellez again.
You're
down 11 nothing.
I saw a Twitter statistic that Tellez has pitched as much as Leszczynski and Nicholas over the last 2 weeks.
Kalis, I love you. I love you, Doran. I was just looking that up.
It's like you've jumped the shark with this gimmick. And they're in Chicago. It's not like Pittsburgh fans can get rowdy about it. You know, why Tellez again?
Last time Tellez pitched, the following day they got their butts whooped. And the fans were chanting for Rowdy. It's a joke.
It's a joke.
It's a disaster.
Huh?
Last season, they went 29 and 28 down the stretch with two legitimate starting pitchers, and they cobbled things together. You've had Skeens and Keller. You've just re-added Jones. You've had Bailey Falter, and yet they're absolutely stumbling down the stretch. You get no hit, you give up 12 runs, you've got your first baseman, who's not even a good first baseman, pitching again for the third time in 12 games. We don't have to belabor the point, we don't have to spend much more time on this, but if Derek Shelton is the manager next year, and I'm not sure this is all his fault, but if Derek Shelton is the manager next season, I will be beyond shocked at this point.
Same here.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any, there's no going back from here. How can you even see through the forest that this could be a positive team next year, that this could be a winning formula? This is not a winning formula, clearly.
He's got one of the worst winning percentages in the history of Major League Baseball managers.
Oh, wow.
And again, that's not all his fault, but you need to win with Skeens. You need to win with O'Neill Cruz. And if you're going to bring it back, you're going to hit that reset button with the same guy. It ain't really the reset button. It just isn't.
I do wonder, and I know it's getting ahead of ourselves, if they do get a new manager, do they move O'Neill Cruz back to shortstop? Like, I mean, you're messing him up. Like, I just don't know. Like, this is a whole disaster. Everything about this is a disaster.
At least we got Skeens, 2.13 ERA, but now he's not even going to win the Rookie of the Year. He's the second favorite for Rookie of the Year. He should be winning the Cy Young. He's been that good, but the team has let him down. If the team were around 500, he might win the Cy Young.
Yes.
And he probably won't even win Rookie of the Year. That's how bad they've been. But we digress. Because people, I don't think, even have an appetite for the Pirates right now. I think we've reached the apathetic stage. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. You can reach out via the text at 412-928-9370. Brought to you by Edgar Steiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. We've got Bostic from 7 until 9 today. Jeff Hathorn at 7:35. Doran, I think today at 9, we give our Steelers season predictions.
Like it.
I think tomorrow we do a lot of the game stuff. They'll be playing Atlanta. A lot of the league stuff. I think we give our Steelers predictions today at 9.
Mm-hmm.
But why not start with a little wonky hypothetical, my friend? Is there a stat line that Russell Wilson could have where you go into game 2 in Denver and say, we got to go with Justin Fields? Like, is there anything that guy could do to where you would go, holy hell, we got to go with the other quarterback?
I mean, 3-4 picks.
Yeah.
3-4 picks. I still don't think that they would do it.
I don't think they would either.
I still don't think, but I know that people will be calling for it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even one pick, I think people will be calling for it. You know how people are here. 2 picks for sure.
Fans booed Kenny Pickett, for God's sakes.
Exactly.
These people are out for blood.
And I will say this about that I know we're going to digress.
No, that's okay.
I did hear it. I heard it.
Yeah.
So for the people out there, I didn't hear it. Oh, I heard that.
Actually,
I heard it.
I didn't get your opinion on this.
No, because I wasn't here.
Were you as mad about it as I was?
I just
maybe more so.
That was disappointed.
Yeah.
Because like, I heard it, and as soon as they put his picture up, I was waiting, and I have headphones on the silence, and I went like this, and I slid them to the side to like listen, and you hear the cheer. Like, there was a big pop.
Yeah.
Big pop, and then underneath that, there was like, oh, like that. You did hear that.
Man, I think that is ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
He won an ACC championship. He's Pitt's all-time leading passer. Mm-hmm. There should be a statue of the guy.
Yep.
I think when you go, real quick.
Yep.
I digress. If you go to a Pitt game, you wear a Pitt shirt, and you're there to support Pitt, Kenny Pickett never played for the Steelers. You don't think about him as a Steeler.
No.
Who cares what he does? You want him to do well in the NFL. What does that matter? Best year in 40 years? And you're going to boo the guy?
Yep.
It's terrible. Ridiculous.
Told you that was going to happen, though.
I think you did say that.
I did. I said I didn't want it to taint his Pitt career and what he did at Pitt. But
it's a pro town. I get it. When you walk into AccraShirt and they got the blue on the sides, and they got the Panther logo up, you're a Panther fan.
Mm-hmm.
You're a Pitt fan.
It's crazy.
Bad look.
Crazy.
Made me mad.
So, the stat line.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I wrote down 3 stat lines.
Okay.
Speaking of Kenny Pickett. So, last year, Kenny Pickett in Cleveland, not all his fault, Matt Canada was there, 15 out of 28, 106, 3 sacks. if Russ did that,
oh,
they're not benching him, but I could see the social media asking for Justin Fields. I wrote a couple more down. 16 out of 23, 169, 1 touchdown, 2 picks, and 3 sacks. Would also be bad. That was Mitch Trubisky's stat line last year before they turned it over to Mason Rudolph. And I got one more for you. The combined numbers of Trubisky and Kenny in the game that Kenny played his first time in the NFL. 17 out of 26, 204 yards, no touchdowns, 4 picks, 3 sacks.
Oh, man.
I think the last one you'd have to legitimately consider Justin Fields.
No doubt.
If we're talking, you don't even hit 250, you don't throw a touchdown, you get sacked thrice, and you throw four picks. I think even if you want to be patient, as I'm sure they do with Russ Wilson, I think Mike Tomlin would at least in the back of his head be going, maybe.
Will if that were the case, will people link Arthur Smith to Russell Wilson? Like, is he linked to Russell Wilson, like, at this point? Does that make sense? Like, is Arthur Smith and Russell Wilson, are they feast or famine together? Are they, like, will people be just as mad about Arthur Smith and that hire if Russell Wilson goes out there and has a stat line like that?
I think because he's not Canada, both quarterbacks will need to stink before he gets called to the carpet.
Because if you're having that stat line, you're probably going to lose.
Oh, for sure.
Right.
Oh, for sure. If you have one of those three stat lines, and I don't think they'll bench Russ under really any circumstances after one game, but let's just say they do, and then game two looks like game one, all of a sudden, quarterback's getting killed, yeah. But then I think the calls for Arthur Smith would come.
Okay.
And I don't want to start the show in a negative place, but I had this thought yesterday. They're not going to bench Russ. National media says they're going to bench Russ. We're not going to be talking about that. Why might we, though? Like, what would lead us to have that conversation? I think you got to throw, like, four picks.
Yeah.
And I also don't see that happening. I also don't think Russ is going to cook, but I could see him going in there and us say, at the end of the game, he looked a lot like Rudolph did at the end of the year. Fast track, should be good for the old offense. They got one good corner. They got some good safeties. I think he's going to look professional out there.
Yeah.
And that isn't necessarily a compliment, but given what they've had the last few years, I think people are going to be pleasantly surprised by how Russ plays to begin the year, and I think they're going to be pleasantly surprised by how Russ plays at all.
I think they'll be pleasantly surprised, but not overwhelmed.
Yeah.
He's not going to overwhelm anybody. I think everybody knows exactly how they're going to run their offense on Sunday. Now, is it a winning formula? We'll see. But you only got what you got.
Not to get, like, way ahead of ourselves here, but last season, Arthur Smith ran play action 33% of the time. I'd like to monitor that this season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to chart it, Doran.
All right.
I'll pull out a little notebook and chart it.
Okay.
I won't. Someone else do it for me. That's what I want to see, and I think if we see a lot of that Russ is going to make some throws that make you go, wow, we haven't seen that in a couple of years. And you might hit a big play or two that you haven't seen in the last couple of years. You know what I want to do with Boston? We're going to do some college football stuff with Pat, obviously. Pitt's got a big one against Cincinnati this weekend. NFL.com came out with their quarterback index. Russell Wilson in the mid-20s. We should do our own. We have our quarterback guru coming in from 7 o'clock until 9. We've done things like this with Pat, but now, man, we're right here.
Yeah, we're good. We can smell it.
The sun's coming up on a beautiful pro football day. All right, coming up next, national expert talking about Mike Tomlin. What would you pay Pat Freiermuth? Bostic from 7 until 9. It's a football Thursday.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Yeah. Part of me wants to see him get fired just so you guys can see how quickly he lands somewhere else. There will be teams that fire their coaches for a shot at Mike Tomlin if he's fired.
So there you go. There's Mike Florio on with the afternoon guys yesterday with the take that we hear a million times every time Mike Tomlin comes under fire. Oh, you get rid of the guy, he'll be hired in 10 seconds. And that is undoubtedly true. Like, I don't play the clip. I don't seek out the clip because I want to argue with the merits of that. I just think before the season starts, you know how you get your brain scanned before an NFL season so you have the baseline? I want to get the Tomlin takes out there right now before the season starts so that everyone's quite clear and there's no moving of the goalposts on how we feel about the guy. And so I shall start, Dorenson. I think he's a hell of a coach. I think he's a hell of a coach. I just don't think he's a quarterback guy. And I think that's why you have such a high floor. Now, he's part of buying the groceries, not just cooking the meal. So when there are roster flaws, I do think he has to own some of that. I also think that even though he buys those groceries, the meal he cooks with sometimes bad groceries is pretty good. Like 10-7 last year is actually pretty good given the quarterback stuff. You know, 9-8 the year before that, that team started awful and he has to wear that. I think he is a very good coach. What did Andy Reid do without Pat Mahomes? Won a lot of games, went to NFC championships, couldn't win the big one. I think about Sean McVay. He's a genius, right? Well, he went to the big game and went to the big game without Jared Goff. The great ones are always tied to a quarterback. People bring it up all the time with Belichick. What was he without a great quarterback? What was he with a good quarterback? So I just want to get it out there very plainly, very clearly. I think the world of Mike Tomlin is a head coach. I think that the malaise, the mediocrity that they've been mired in, there's some alliteration for you, the last 7 years is frankly unacceptable. I think he's got the best quarterback since Ben retired. And my expectation is you should win 10 games and you should make the playoffs. If you are as good of a coach as I think he is, he should be able to do that. And if he doesn't, there's no point to even call for his head because they're not going to get rid of him. But I will criticize him if he wins fewer than 10 games.
That's why this situation in this season should be highly monitored, because now you're pairing Mike Tomlin with a legitimate offensive coordinator that's really taking care of the offense, and you're giving him, like you said, the best quarterback since Ben Roethlisberger that's a veteran quarterback. And I think we all know that Mike Tomlin's not a quarterback guy, as you said as well. So if it doesn't work this year, then where do you go? Because you're not going to go to the draft. He's obviously can't develop or probably can't develop a young quarterback. You're not going to get one of the higher level quarterbacks that are out there. Like, you're not going to pay a substantial, they're not going to pay Dak Prescott.
I think,
like,
they might.
I don't think they will. And is he that quarterback that could take Mike Tomlin to another level? I don't know. You know, you don't have the Aaron Rodgers, the Patrick Mahomes, the Josh Allens, the Joe Burrows of the world. You're just never going to have that with Mike Tomlin. So that's why this year is so important, I believe. And like you said too, like, you're not going to fire him, but I think you know what you really are with Mike Tomlin after this year, because you do have an offensive head coach, offensive coordinator that's going to take care of everything on the offensive side. You're kind of staying out of that. You have a veteran quarterback that he is used to. If it doesn't work this year, I think you know what you are and yeah, where you could possibly go with Mike Tomlin is at its max.
I hear everything you're saying, and as you're saying it, it kind of just hits me. The worst portion of Tomlin's Steelers head coaching career to me is not getting beyond the AFC championship, getting blown out against New England in 16, losing in 17 to Jacksonville when you did have the elite quarterback. You know, Ben's final season that they get blown out in the playoff game, you'd like the defense to play better. I think it was 6 straight drives or something like that. They give up a touchdown, 6 out of 7, just horrendous. Give up 40 plus points to the Browns, just horrendous. But I don't look at last year and go, okay, that's what makes Tomlin this lightning rod in Pittsburgh, or it shouldn't. Or even the 2 years prior, the rookie year of Kenny, the final year of Ben. What are you going to do in this conference, in this league, when you've got a 40-year-old quarterback in Roethlisberger who clearly wasn't the same guy, a rookie, and then you've got Matt Canada? Again, I understand Matt Canada was his fault. He hired him. He kept him around. But what were they supposed to do with Kenny or May, we talked ourselves into them being competitive potentially against Buffalo with Mason Rudolph, and they kind of were. It was a one-score game in the fourth quarter, but like, what are you playing for right now?
Right.
You don't have Mahomes. You don't have Allen. You don't have Rodgers. You don't have Lamar. You don't have Burrow. You just kind of got what you got. And best case scenario is you'd have Drake May right now. Well, that ain't buying you nothing for this year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, C.J. Stroud had one of the best seasons as a rookie of all time. You're not going to advance past the first round of the playoffs. So I'm trying to be nuanced in all of this. Tomlin's a good coach. He's underachieved at times. He's also a personnel guy. But, yeah, you struck out with Kenny. Where were you supposed to turn? And what could you have acquired
that could have helped you even compete?
Right. Like, let's say they were the team to pay Kirk Cousins this offseason. Let's say they brought him in. Is he the eighth best quarterback in the AFC?
Right.
Like, it's almost this cold splash of water in my face where, what is it all for? What does it all mean? I guess it's about breaking the playoff drought, win drought this year, because you're not going to win the Super Bowl. And is that really Mike Tomlin's fault? Honestly, I know that sounds crazy. He's the head coach. He's getting paid a bunch of money. He's basically a Supreme Court justice. He's going to be here forever. But if you've got the 10th best quarterback in the conference, what are you supposed to do?
Well, I think that the last couple of years, it's Mike Tomlin's fault because you wasted those years.
Mm-hmm.
And you wasted those years by hiring Matt Canada, keeping him around. You wasted those years by overdrafting Kenny Pickett. Whether he wanted Kenny Pickett or not, he was a part of the process. You would think a coach that had won and won a Super Bowl and been to another would have a little bit more on the development side of a young quarterback and know not even the intricacies of like Kenny, of like the throwing and the mechanics or anything, but just the structure around a situation like that, or just a young quarterback in general, or having that succession plan after Ben, like already in place. It seemed like they didn't know what to do.
Yeah, that's fair. That's totally fair.
The succession plan is where I kind of stop at. It's like, well, you guys don't seem like you really had a legit plan.
Yeah, I think people, and maybe I'm wrong on this, I guess I'll speak for myself. If Ben Johnson, the guy in Detroit, was your coordinator when Kenny came in, I don't know that we're talking about having overdrafted Kenny. I don't know that he would have been a great player, but
he would have been better.
I think he'd still be here. And that to me is the biggest flaw. Obviously picking Kenny where they picked him looks really bad right now, but you didn't land him in a nest where you can succeed.
But like, you had to know. These guys have been doing football for so long. You had to have known whenever you drafted Kenny Pickett that he was a quarterback that needed every single resource around him to get the most out of him. Kenny Pickett wasn't this world beater coming out of college. He wasn't this 6'5", 230-pound mammoth of a quarterback with a huge arm and crazy accuracy. You knew that you needed to have the best coordinator. You needed to have the best quarterback coach to get the most out of him, and they messed up there. They're like, no, you know what? Kenny will figure it out with Matt Canada. We believe that Matt Canada can just, you know, they'll figure it out. Like, no, you had to have known that wasn't going to work. He needed everything.
Yeah.
And this is not to just, you know, this is not Kenny Pickett and like,
no.
Oh, boo-hoo, Kenny Pickett's not here anymore and I feel bad for him. No, but you just had to, like, whenever you went to the draft, everybody has evaluations. They check everything. They know. They know what you're capable of. They know your ceiling and they know your floor. So they can't just sit here and tell us that they thought it was going to be a great situation. Kenny was going to be a baller coming out of college that first and second year of his career underneath Matt Canada. Like, come on. And if they think that, then there's bigger issues.
Yeah, that is the biggest problem. Like, once they signed up for all of it.
Yes.
They signed up for all of it. And so the failures do need to be placed at his feet. And now you pivot to Russ. I think they did as good of a job as they could this offseason.
Absolutely.
I think Arthur Smith was a good hire. You cleared out the quarterback room, and you got one guy with incredible traits still in the prime of his career and another guy who's won a Super Bowl. You weren't going to do better than that. So let's see how it all works. It should look better than last year. If it doesn't, boy, any of the questions asked, any of the criticism thrown, going to be warranted. Your heart care matters. Trust the experts at UPMC and get your heart screened. Get my heart screened today, Dorenson. You get a little echocardiogram. All right, coming up next, Pat Freiermuth. What do you pay the big old hoss of a tight end? We'll talk about it.
We did a bad job with the clock right there. We did a bad job with the clock right there.
Oh, yeah. My bad. I'll take responsibility for that. Listen to some calls on the radio station yesterday, Dorn, about Pat Freiermuth, and you and I are in the same camp. Pay the guy. Pay the guy. A lot of people saying don't pay the guy. He's average. He's no good. A lot of people on social media, don't pay the guy. He's average. He's no good. I disagree with that. I think he is good. I think he also is more durable than people give him credit for. Last season he was hurt. The 2 years prior to that, he wasn't. He played 16 games in each of the prior 2 years. Really, even if you take him out of the equation, like take his name off it, at some point you got to pay an offensive guy.
Yeah, that too.
Like, don't you? Like,
right.
You got to pay somebody that, I don't know that you would call him like the cornerstone of your offense. But you need to pay someone so that you have a veteran in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Najee Harris probably not going to be here next year. Jaylen Warren probably will, but it's not 100%. He's an RFA at the end of the season. You're not going to have James Daniels next year. It sounds like Mason McCormick's going to take his job. Sayamalu, yeah, this will be his second year, so Pat Freiermuth actually predates him. Don't you kind of have to start paying offensive players in the year of our Lord 2024?
Well, you also don't want to, create another hole, as you already been creating holes on your offense. And if you don't pay Pat Freiermuth and you let him walk or you let him test free agency and he goes somewhere else, like, then you're back to the drawing board at tight end.
Man.
Like, or you want to roll with Darnell Washington, which he's a glorified tackle. You want Michael Pruitt, you want to sign him back to a one-year deal, who's another blocking tight end. Oh, Connor Hayward's not a tight end. Like, what are you going to do there? You need an actual staple in your offense that you can somewhat rely on. Now, I know people are up and down about Pat Freiermuth, but, you know, he's top 10 tight ends in the league, and whenever he, you know, is on – With a quarterback, and everything goes hand in hand. I get it. And now in this new offense, I think he's going to have a big year. But like, you want to have to draft a tight end whenever you need probably D line help, and you probably need a corner, and you probably need a receiver. You probably need other positions. Now you have to worry about tight end.
We're doing the Spider-Man meme thing, yeah. Because while you were saying all that, like, you want to create another hole. That's exactly what I wrote down. D line, maybe quarterback, cornerback, wide receiver. You could draft a safety. I mean, you haven't had a homegrown guy really to play next to him. Obviously, I'm talking about Minkah Fitzpatrick. Those are all needs. Big needs if you're talking D-line cornerback. You want to add tight end to that list? No!
No.
Especially when this would not be a contract that is going to hamstring you in any way. You don't have a number two wide receiver. Maybe you pay him $10 million a year. Maybe you pay him $12 million a year. You were going to pay Deontay $18 million a year. He is your Deontay this year. You're going to do it different, but in terms of the production, you're hoping he can be like that because you don't have anybody else. And maybe Roman Wilson makes it so that wide receiver's not a big need. Okay. But that's far from a sure thing. You are also going to have to pay George Pickens. And bless Pickens and his talent, and Tomlin says he's matured, and I believe that. I don't think just because he had some issues at Georgia and was a little temperamental last year doesn't mean he can't grow out of it.
Right.
Guys in their early 20s might fly off the handle. Speaking from experience, you might say stupid stuff. You might do stupid things. I leave open the possibility that he's going to grow up, as humans do. I'm a totally different guy-ish than I was back then. But I don't know if he's the veteran that I want to be the only one I build around. So I can't really think of a good reason why you wouldn't pay Freiermuth. And the Steelers don't deserve benefit of the doubt. That was one of the arguments. Oh, you pay Hayward. And since the Steelers did it, it's a great idea. Everything they do is right. No, it's not. But in these two cases, I try to take off the Steelers color glasses and think about the drawbacks. I can't find them.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to draft a tight end next year?
Exactly. That's where I'm at.
Right. At the expense of what? D-line?
Right.
Or corner?
Right.
Or quarterback?
We're going to sign a different
wide
one?
Receiver? Right. And then you're going to have to pay that guy more,
right,
because the market is only going to advance between now and then. So take the guy who you know is a good locker room guy, who has been productive for you, who's had 7 touchdowns in a year, who has been top 6 in the NFL in receptions and yards for a tight end, pay him probably less now than you would have to at the end of the year. Again, having a tough time finding the downside here.
Pay a guy, too, that you drafted. Oh, that's yours. You know, that's like it actually panned out, you know, enough to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that means a little bit.
Yes.
It doesn't mean anything to, I don't think, fans or anything or people watching, but it does mean stuff into the building. Like, all right, we grew this guy. He got better. He's good. And we want to keep him as one of our staples. We want to pay him money, like keep him around. I mean, that's what you did with Cam Hayward. That's a different football. That's a long time ago. Whenever you drafted Cam Hayward, but you continued, and now he's probably going to finish his career out as a Steeler. Don't you want to you know, at least a couple offensive guys fall under that?
And what if you got a rookie quarterback coming in here or a young quarterback coming in here, or even just Justin Fields if he sticks around? Okay, you've now built up the offensive line with draft picks, and it doesn't look great right now, but I have a lot of hope that this offensive line can be a strength of this team. That's a good place to begin with a young quarterback, but then who's he going to throw the damn ball to?
Mm-hmm.
Who's he going to hand it to? It's not going to be Najee. So you're going to have running back down on the list. So you got a guy in Justin Fields. Maybe he's your quarterback 2025. Do you want to put him in a position to succeed? He's got to throw the ball to somebody. Your two best options, keep him around.
Yep.
Pickens, Freiermuth. Just wanted to get that out there. We got our guy Pat Bostic coming up at 7 o'clock. We can ask him the value of that whoopee, that security blanket in the middle of the field at the tight end position. But coming up next, an unbelievable NFL story and Bill Belichick's on Instagram. Patty Bostic joins us for his first pro football appearance of the season. Coming up at 7, 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Bill Belichick has joined Instagram, and I don't think it's the most miraculous thing going on in the NFL. That is, DeMar Hamlin is going to start.
I saw that.
For the Buffalo Bills.
Yep.
Just incredible.
Yes, it is. Good on him. Good on him. Man. I would have been done.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, let's just go there, right?
Yeah.
I would have been done. Yeah. I mean, I think that his purpose, and that's why I said good on him. There's probably nothing that could, and all the things that came with that, and obviously we know the story, but I think that his purpose is bigger than football, and he's shown that a bunch, and I would have just left it at that bigger purpose.
Yeah.
Than getting back on the field, and he, good on him for doing that.
I don't know that there's a single rational person that would have blamed him if he hung it up.
Right.
And I think it takes incredible courage. It's the thing he loves. Incredible courage to put a helmet on again.
Yep.
To go to a training camp again last year.
Even to watch the game. Watch games.
Man, ain't that
it was hard for us. If it was hard for me to watch games after that. Couldn't imagine being him and actually going out there and participating and then earning a starting job.
Man.
Crazy.
It really is. Like you said, good on him. All the best to him. I hope he has an unbelievable season.
Yep.
I have to look at their schedule. I don't know if they play Cincinnati or not. It would be poetic justice if he'd get himself a pick six or something against Cincinnati. That's where the injury happened. That's also where Ryan Shazier's went down. Like,
right.
Just, I mean, I'm not suggesting that it's because of that. It's just eerie as hell. And then you got Bill Belichick on the gram. What is he going to even post about? Football?
Him and his girlfriend.
Him and his lady. I saw he follows like 6 accounts, and it's all football. It's like Pat McAfee and a couple other football media people, a couple of different players, some coaches. And then there's like this really hot chick. I was like, oh, geez, Bill, that's such a bad look, man. That's nasty. And I clicked, and they're dating.
That's his girl?
Which might be nastier, but at least that makes him sad. He's not just like, all right, football and
let me see this young brawl.
Let me get some bikini shots.
Yeah, a couple of those. Yeah, you know, I'm going to take some pictures, I guess, on my boat. Well, this guy right here, this fish, you know, he could actually throw a barnacle. He does really well. Maybe.
Imagine him, like, pillow talk, whispered sweet nothings in his 24-year-old's ear.
What could they possibly talk? Like, what do they have in common? Like, I'm not nothing. Like, good for him. Good on you, Bill.
Hey, you
like,
do you,
like,
man.
Do
yeah.
you. But, like, what could they be talking about at night? Like, she's talking about TikTok, and he's thinking, like,
Well, that's what's next.
Right.
What is it? He's thinking about a clock.
Exactly. Big Ben. Big Ben.
Well, that reminds me of the 2004 AFC Championship game. Big Ben.
We had 2 minutes left.
Big clock there.
Big clock. And there's a clock in the stadium. And,
she ain't in it for the body.
No, I've seen it.
You saw it in the sauna.
In the steam room, yeah. She ain't in it for that. And that was a long, that was over 10 years
ago. He was in prime of his life back then.
It wasn't good.
A lot of saggage going on there.
Harry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You didn't see everything, did you?
Oh, I seen enough. I seen, you know what I saw, Crowley? I saw more than I should have seen. That way. I wasn't prepared. I almost slipped and fell and smacked my head off the ground.
Were they deflated? All right, we have a text from Pat Bostick here. I'm running a little behind this AM. Be there in 10.
Mm.
All right, so that'll get him here about 7:07. Pat Bostick joining us next. First, though, fan weather. Brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500s. 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. For full terms at sunchevy.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.